Father, we come before you in Jesus' name this morning, Lord, and I want to thank you, Father, for the lives that you've touched here in this body through just a few that have shared today what you've done in their lives over the last couple of 10 days. And Father, we pray this morning, Lord, chances are, you've been so good to us, chances are there's somebody here visiting for the first time again. And Lord, things are very, very different this morning. And we ask you, Father, that you touch them. It's no accident that they've come here today. It's not some mistake that we've made or they've made. There's a purpose why we've just returned to Russia, from Russia, and Lord, what's upon our hearts. It's no mistake, Lord God, that you had hundreds of people praying literally around the clock for 10 days for the success of this missionary venture. It's no mistake, Father, that this morning, Lord, we have gathered here today on this tremendously, incredibly hot day that we've taken the time to come and be here. It's for a purpose. So, Lord, cause us to be comfortable and cause our hearts to be wide open to hear what the Spirit would have to say. Father, thank you for transporting us all those miles and bringing us back. And yet, Lord, our heart is torn between two worlds, between two countries, in between two loves. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the team members if they would come up right now. And the rest of you, if you grab your Bible and open your Bible to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 47. And I've asked just about 10 or so team members to come up. The team size was about 70. And the Lord used this team greatly. Those of you who've been to Russia before, can I see your hands? You've been here, but you've been on the trip before. I love you, and we've had a great time before, but I got to tell you, the rumors floating around that this was the best trip ever. Well, listen, it was the best trip ever. It was the best trip. And when I say the best, I mean in every way. And you're going to hear from some of the team members this morning, and then throughout messages on Wednesdays and Sundays, I will have to definitely work things in. For you to hear what God has done. But we're very, very excited. One thing I forgot to share last service. Do you guys remember me asking you guys to pray for a woman by the name of Dina, Pastor Paul's mom? And we had shared the gospel with her on the phone. And she had told me after we had shared the gospel that she didn't want to hear any more about this, that she was going to think about that, what we had told her. You know, in America, that's basically the... You know, yeah, brush off is putting it nicely. It's basically like, we'll see you later, you know? And the other day I had the opportunity to be there at her house and waiting for her to come home from work. And she came home. And when she found out that I was sitting on her couch, she put her keys down and I stood up to greet her. And she grabbed my hands and sat me down. And she said, I know why you're here. Well, she said it through her son. I know why you're here. And I've thought about all those things that we talked about on the phone. And I believe them all. I said, you do? She said, yes. And I looked at Paul and he shrugs his shoulders and he said, I didn't know this. And I said, Dean, I said, this is mainly for me then. I said, can we go through it one more time? Sure. So we went through it one more time. And she said, yep. Big smile on her face. And I said, you want to pray? This is precious. I said, you want to pray right now? Just to receive Jesus Christ, just us three together. And she says, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how. I said, well, you know what? We're going to learn right now, okay? She goes, sure. And so we prayed together. She officially accepted the Lord, but she had come to faith during that period of time. And so here's a story, and you're going to hear stories this morning from some people. For Dina and Paul and I, it was a time of we planted some seeds, we watered some seeds. The Lord did all the work along the way and brought the increase. And I had a tremendous opportunity to be able to be a planter and then a waterer and then a reaper. And I can't tell you this as we come to the close of this service, how incredibly blessed I am as a pastor to be experiencing what God's doing in your lives. And to have people go over on a team, some of them I really didn't know, and to get to know. And some of them, their roommates, they didn't know, and they got to know. But more importantly, to have a focus that some of you this morning are sitting here thinking, what have I gotten myself into today? What is going on here at Calvary Chapel? Well, you know what? If we don't accomplish any more here in this body than to share the vision that Jesus has, which he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So as you hear these people share this morning, I want you to be asking yourself, Lord, have you called me to stay? You've heard me correctly. Lord, have you called me to stay? Because he has asked us to go. And you're going to be hearing from these people this morning. And I just pray that you're blessed by what they share. And when I say that this was the best team ever, I can say it with absolute confidence in a lot of ways. Some ways I don't understand. Some ways I do understand. But those of you who helped financially, those of you who are on the prayer chain, and those of you who served in other ways, I can tell you with absolute assurance that what is laid up in store for you in heaven is a crown of righteousness that the righteous judge will give you on that day. And not only you only, but to all those who love his appearing. You guys are committed to missions, and I love it. In fact, if you weren't, I'd have to go to a church that was. But I want to warn you, as you hear from the hearts of these people and from the last two services, I've come to the conclusion this morning that this place, by the grace of God, could be hazardous to your carnality. By God's grace, this church could be hazardous to your complacency. By the grace of God, this church can be dangerous if you just want to pretend and play. And I'm really blessed to be here. You're a great and precious people. And so I'm just going to ask that the Lord would be upon you guys. You'll have like 2 or 3 minutes. And if you go over, you can't see it right now, but there's a 45 Magnum right around. No, they're going to get your attention with a flashlight, and that means stop so others can share. So God bless you guys. Shelley, are you ready?
Yes.
Good, good.
I'd rather just sing you a song instead. It's a lot easier for me for some reason. Well, this was my fourth trip to Russia, and I can't tell you, it's just gotten better every time, I think. And every time I go and I get there, and I just begin to smell and see all the people, it brings back so many things in my heart that I've seen before. And it's very hard to leave by the time the last day is there. And I kind of, on the way, we had just the funniest group of people just wanting to goof off. And I look very nice up here, but I'm the goofiest person you can ever be around. And I kind of termed this the mission apostle instead of mission impossible. And you can kind of hear every now and then some people going, dun, 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 during the trip. And our key verse for this trip was, with God, all things are possible. And it's so true. And last year, God was just placing it on my heart before I was going to Russia. Again, I was here praying, not knowing if I was going to be able to go. And God put on my heart Daniel 11:32, which was in the words to the wise. And I have to admit, I don't always read this thing, but when I do, it's a real blessing. Sorry. What an example I am. Anyway, it had Daniel 11:32, and it says, the people that know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. And it's so true. You know, God can use you if you just allow him to, you know. And he also, in Psalm 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations, and I'll be exalted along the earth. And that verse just really hit me last year, and I just was crying, and I just knew that God was calling me to know him more. I mean, I have a lot of head knowledge about him, and I know scriptures and stuff, but he really wanted me to really know him. And I found with this trip, when I went over there, so much more boldness than I've ever had before. I'm the type of person that if somebody's going to talk to me, I'll rather do it one-on-one. I don't like going up to people and just sharing. And God gave me so much boldness to just go up and just say what was in my heart. And I don't know, it's just so neat to be able to share what God was already putting in my heart, how I really know him. And I just encourage you to just pray. And I just want to thank you. We totally felt your prayers, the grace of God. And I don't know if Jack shared this. I mean, it was raining all around us, but not on us most of the time. And then when we pack up to leave, it start raining. And I mean, God's grace was just showering us. And I just thank God that I was able to go. And I'm just praying that I can go back again someday. And just pray for those people. They love you. And thank you.
What a blessing it was to be able to go to Russia. I thought, God, why am I going to Russia? What is here for me? I'm not a Bible scholar. I can't talk to these people. But I had the opportunity to be able to contact by email a couple of teachers and a couple of students about 3 months prior to the trip. And I thought, okay, God's got me there. I'm going to get to go talk to these teachers, and I'm going to get to share the Lord with them. One of them was Jewish, and one of them was an atheist. So I'm like, oh, God, prepare me. And it turns out the whole trip, I mean, even through all of that contact, I had an agenda when I went over there that I was going to do this, 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 and this, and this. God, I don't care what you want me to do. This is what I have to do. And God just took that plan of mine, and he crunched it all in a ball, and he threw it away. And I never ended up getting to meet with the teachers, but that whole plan, I really believe in my heart, and I'm going to start crying, was for the one student that goes to the school over there that I've had contact with, that the Lord allowed me to bring her to the Lord. And for me, that stretched my faith, and my faith grew immensely. And I mean, I can't tell you enough like what that does to be able to go there and to be able to lay the gospel out before someone and have them receive the Lord right there with you. And now I feel this responsibility for her and I really want to go back there. If God would allow me to go back there today, I would say, okay, I'm going. Because things here, you go there, and here, things are important, like clothes and your car and your job, and it's important, but there it's not. And the Lord really showed me that those things are temporary, and they don't matter, and people are what matter, and bringing people into the kingdom are what matter. And so today, right now, if God said, yes, you can go, I would go, and I would live there, and people think I'm crazy. But that's okay, because I know what God wants for my life, and I'm just waiting for him to say yes and let me go back. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I would encourage you, if you have the opportunity to go there and God says, yes, you can go, go, because it will change your life.
Amen.
When I first got there, I was really, really tired from no sleep on the plane, and so I wasn't like in the best of moods, and they wanted us to use the metro and go get something to eat, and so we got on the train, and we were down in the metro station, and we got off at our stop, and these two Russian men got out, and they immediately got into a fist fight with each other, and one of them was obviously drunk. And Dima, the dark-haired Dima, was one of our translators. He immediately ran over to the two guys and separated them. And he took the one that was drunk aside and tried to talk some sense into him and calmed him down. And everything was okay until we got up to the next level of steps and they saw each other again and they broke away and they got into this fist fight again. And all of a sudden, a couple of militia come out from a hiding place and they have like Uzis on their backs. And they arrest the men and take them away. And I'm just standing here watching all of this, and I'm just thinking, Jack, how did you ever talk me into something like this? And I immediately thought, I wasn't in the best of moods, and I immediately thought, that's it. There's no way I'm going to minister to any of these people. They're not going to listen. I don't know why I'm here. Well, it turned out it was just the absolute best week I've ever had in my life. And I was used by the Lord, and by the last day, where I'm standing in line at the airport, and I'm totally emotional and crying because there's no more time left to minister to these people that I wasn't going to minister to. And the other thing that sticks out in my mind are the Russian people from the church that came to see us off. They're standing there with their faces pressed against the glass because that's as close as they could get to us. And they were crying and blowing kisses to us. And treating us as if we were the ones who were the special ones, and it just blew me away. Anyway, it was a really great time.
Thank you.
Well, Carol just set me off the minute she said the name Dima. So it was my first trip to Russia, and actually it was my first time going out of the United States, so needless to say, I was kind of scared and really nervous, and I didn't know what to expect. But God showed me a lot of things, and even though you're on this team with all these people and you're in this huge city, God still works in your heart on an individual basis while you're there. Like, he shows you things about yourself that you never even knew. Like, a few days before I left, my mom was yelling at me about being ungrateful. And I didn't believe her. I didn't even understand what she meant. But when you get there, and you, like, you'll offer to buy one of your translators lunch or something. I mean, just a little tiny thing. It costs you, like, $2. You know, they're so grateful. They're so thankful. And it doesn't matter what it is. They're so happy to have it. And, gosh, they're, like, the biggest servants, you know, and... like the translators, all they get all day is, come here, I need you, come here, I need you. Are you busy? Let's go. I mean, that's all they get. But they're willing to, you know, sacrifice their time and be there for you. And it's because they love you. And like somebody said, they love you all, this entire body. They don't even know you, and they love you so much. And God just really showed me that that he doesn't ask me to do it myself. All he asks of me is to try, and that's all he asks of you. He just wants you to try, you know. Maybe there's somebody that you want to talk to or you want to share with, or there's something that you want to do, but you don't think that you're capable of doing it. Well, all you have to do is try, and God will take your attempts, and he'll bless them, and he'll multiply them. And the thing that blessed me the most there were just the people, like brown-headed Dima and Leanna and Daniel and everybody. They're just so beautiful. I miss them so much. Okay, now I'm going off. All right. But like she said, if you ever have an opportunity to go, you should really go, because it's like, it's the raddest thing that you'll ever do. And that's all.
There's so many things that happen to change your life. Everything unexpected, but there's one thing in particular that I'd like to share with you, and that was a precious young girl named Lena, who was not a Christian. She had not accepted the Lord, but she was one of our translators, and we were talking about the gospel and sharing and talking about Jesus, and she said, "You know what you guys remind me of?" And I said, "What?" And she says, "I've been reading the Bible, and you remind me of the disciples that are described in the Bible." Well, I was pretty much speechless at that. And as I stood there and thought about it, that's exactly how I felt. Mm-hmm. I felt like a disciple. It, me. If you knew me... I'm one of the last persons that should feel that way, you know, of my own. But because of Christ in me, and because of the grace that he gives me, he allowed me to experience that. And I know that the prayers of all the people that were here, I was privileged and allowed to see the fruit of your labors. And we simply made ourselves available. There was no way we ever thought we were going to go. Jack had said, if Jesus came down and asked you, would you go to Russia for me, what would you say? And I thought in my mind, well, if he asked me, I would say yes. And I said the same thing to Carol, and she said, well, yeah, I mean, you know, if you're going to put it that way. So we put our names on the sheet, neither one of us ever thinking that we would go. And just one thing after another, God moved through all the barriers and tore down all the walls, and there was a lot of strife and stuff, and we both ended up over there, which was a miracle to me. And we'll never, ever forget it. If you want to grow in your Christian walk, Just say, yes, Lord, I'll go if you want me to. And then let him do it. And you'll never regret it.
Amen.
I remember a year ago sitting out here where you are and listening to the people who had just come back from Russia and thinking how much I would like to go. And then when Jack announced this trip, I heard God very clearly say, go. And I put my name on the list. And God, in his mercy, that same day provided the money for it. Mm. When I got to Russia, I had no idea what to expect. But what I found was people who were just like us. They're very caring and compassionate people. And they don't have a lot, but what they do have, they're very willing to share. A lot of the people that I talked to said that they believe in God. They knew who Jesus Christ was. They knew that Jesus died on the cross. But when it came down to the question of whether or not they knew for sure that they were going to go to heaven, that became the sticking point. Many of them didn't know for sure. And that became the point that we were able to open up a discussion with them. A lot of times, I know for me, when I was talking to people, I would come to the point where I didn't know what to say next. And I would say, Lord, what do I say? And all of a sudden, the words were there. And I remember one woman in particular that Ira and I were talking to, one of our translators. And we hadn't been talking to this woman for very long, but all of a sudden she looked at us and she said, what do I have to do to accept Jesus Christ? It was a question that all of us wanted to hear, but I think it took Ira and I totally by surprise. And fortunately, Pastor Paul was standing right there and came over and rescued this poor woman from us and took her aside. But Ira and I locked arms in the middle of this metro station and prayed as this woman accepted Jesus Christ. And I think for me, that was the highlight of my trip. I know a lot of us, probably by about the fourth day, were just totally, totally exhausted. We would crawl out of bed in the morning, crawl into our clothes, crawl onto the bus, crawl through breakfast, and really wonder how in the world that we were going to find the strength to get through another day. But the strange thing was that as soon as we got off that bus at the metro stop, the Holy Spirit gave us the strength that we needed. All of a sudden, we came alive, and getting through the day was no longer a problem. I read something the other day that maybe sums up our trip to Russia. It said, the crowd is not the harvest, but the harvest is in the crowd. Thank you.
I would like to tell you about William, a person I met a year ago at the metro. Every day he would come by and he would be drunk and I would speak with him and I would witness to him and share the gospel, and he would go away. He would nod and, you know, we'd talk, and he knew about the Lord, but he just didn't have him in his heart. So every day I would pray with him or for him, and we'd talk. On the last day, just minutes before the final song, he came. He said he wanted to pray. And then Anya, the tall one, she translated. And he was very dirty. Every day he was drunk and maybe on drugs. And no matter when we'd break up from the concert in the day, and by the time we'd get back to the hotel, he'd be there waiting for me to buy him dinner. So, of course, I would pay the $2 or $3, and some days he wouldn't even ask me, he'd ask somebody else. And after we were in Russia this time, 2 or 3 days, he came up. And he was so clean that we didn't even recognize him. Anyway, we prayed with him and for him every day, kind of thing. And we invited him to come. Then on the last day, of course, he showed up. He was at the dining room, so he ate this time for free because we didn't have to pay, and he brought somebody with him. And he says, this is my friend, and he wants to receive the Lord. And I asked the guy, and he says, yes. I said, well, just be patient because we're going to be having a service in just a few minutes, you know. And so we just went about our business, and we told him so. A while later, we were inside setting up, and I see him praying with another one of the members of the team, which was great. But the Lord was so good that all the time we're there, every day we'd see him, and he was so dirty and drunk and stuff. And just at the last minute last year, he came and he prayed, and when we seen him this time, he wasn't the same person.
Awesome.
And he got together with Pastor Paul this time, and he had a Bible, and he said he would be going to the church there. And I just thank the Lord that that happened. And there are so many other people we spoke to this time. Many, many people. And their stories will happen next time because they're just now coming into the light. And the Lord gave us all a great privilege, and he has blessed us all because of it. Thank you.
This is as bad as the plane flight, except it doesn't last as long. I went last year, and I was totally blessed and blown away by what the Lord did. And again, the same thing here, except the trip was so, so different. Totally different flavor on the team. The Lord didn't wait to start working. We didn't even get the equipment up, the sound equipment up, and people were up there asking, what are you doing? Who are you? Where are you from? And we got to start, or the team got to start ministering right away. And the Lord just worked just from that moment on in just an incredible way. And I know you guys keep hearing this, and it's not enough words to describe what he did. When I went last year, I fell in love with Russia itself, and I didn't get a chance to meet or make too many relationships. So my prayer this time was to make some relationships. Well, 2 years ago, my husband went and met a family over there. He came back, and I promptly lost their address, and we never heard from them. Well, a week in the first part of May, I found their address. A week before we left, I got a letter from him. He had found our address the first week of May also, and so I knew then that I was going to be getting to meet and have a relationship with some Russian people over there. Well, we got invited to their home, and I had heard that they were incredibly hospitable, incredibly loving, giving. And that is an understatement. The minute we walked in, they were just giving everything. They gave us books. They had gone out and bought each one of my children an outfit. And those of you who know me, I have a few more than two children. And that's a big deal because this family is not a rich family. The father has not been paid in 2 months. They gave me a hand-painted teapot and then went out and bought a tablecloth to go with it. It's incredible. I can't even list all the things that they gave. And I came over with a few things for the family, but I was like, well, I can't believe I'm walking out with three bags of goodies here and or treasures. And on the way back, they live, it's four metro stops. Time-wise, I don't know, half an hour away from our hotel. And we were leaving their house, and it was at the last metro. We caught the very last train coming back. Well, he had got the entire family, and I didn't know this at the time. They were going to walk us or take us on the metro all the way back to our hotel, even though they knew there was no metro going back. They were going to have to walk. There were no more buses, trams, nothing. They were going to walk, their 8-year-old son and the mother and the father. And I was blown away by that because we Americans don't even walk anybody to the door hardly. And I was so blessed. I will forever be knit with this family, my family, with theirs. We are one family there. They didn't come to know the Lord, but they got to meet Paul. He spoke to them. They were very interested. They were going to church Sunday, which already happened there. So my request for you guys would be to pray for not only just the people that we spoke to. You don't know them, and we probably will have forgotten some of them also, but the Lord knows. And pray for the new believers and for this church. We left, we went in there like gangbusters, and we left, and Pastor Paul's left with all these new believers, and Satan's going to go in there and really work hard to take away everything, all the work that's been done there. And also I would like to urge you to pray about going if there's ever an opportunity. Okay, Guy, thank you.
Talk loud. Just talk loud and it'll get you.
Okay, well, I'm really nervous right now. But, well, 2 days, our first 2 days there in Russia, I was very discouraged. You know, I was never involved in the call or any discipleship team at all, so I felt really unequipped. But that verse in Proverbs 3:5, that really spoke to me. You know, it's when the Lord said, just trust in him. All I had to do was trust in him and allow him to work in my life and just speak the words, you know, through me. And anyway, I think it was like the third or fourth day, I was able to lead a girl to the Lord. And she really ministered to me because she would travel 3 hours by train just to hear the gospel. And it, and I started to think how blessed we are here. Sometimes we complain a lot, we gripe and about having to drive a long time or not having enough money for gas. And this girl, you know, travels 3 hours by train just to hear the gospel. And that really ministered to me. And we had some free time one day, and she just wanted to be around us so much because she was really touched by us coming, you know, to Russia, 1,000 miles from there, and just to be their friend. And they really, they knew that we care for them, that we really love them, and it made a big impact on them. And I just thank the Lord, you know, for giving me the opportunity to be used by him. And if you're ever given an opportunity, just like Jennifer said, to do something like that, you know, Don't shut the door. It'll change your life. God bless you.
My husband thinks I'm so good at this, and I'm melting and dying back there, and I thought he did so good. Everything everybody said is so true. Chuck and I didn't get to work together a lot because we kind of, you know, I'm kind of an independent woman, I guess, but... I did want to share with you what one gentleman named Andre that we did talk together with. He was just standing there, and I noticed him. He had deep scars on his face. His ear had been cut off and looked like it was sewed back on, and he had a giant scar, deep scars all over his face, and tip of his nose looked like it had been cut off and put back together. And we just both went up and talked with him, and we shared with him how he could accept the Lord. And he had a great burden upon himself. He was a commander in the Afghanistan war, and he lost 180 men, and he took great pain living with this for such a long time. And we shared with him, and he said, if I accept Jesus, will I have to fight? Will I have to kill? And what will he think of that? And we didn't really know what to say. You know, we didn't want to get involved in politics at all. It kind of was really a tough question for us. And so we just told him, well, we really can't answer that. And we went on with the gospel presentation. And again, he was really upset. Do I have to kill again? What will I do? And the only thing that we could think of was render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. You know, I said, if this is your job, God understands. He knows your heart. And he said, well, you see, I've been called out to go to the Chechenian war, and I'm going to be going out in two weeks. And he says, I'm not going to make it back. I'm older now, and I can't do this anymore, and I won't be back. And we shared the gospel, you know, that God was so gracious to forgive us our sins, and that, you know, we can never be separated from him once we accept him. And he just, you know, he was like, oh, this is good, you know, I can be free finally. And so I told him, I said, Andre, if you make it before me, I'm going to be looking in the crowd, and I'm going to go, Andre, here I am, because now we're going to be free together in heaven forever. and that God's not going to hold those sins against him because it's just something that he must do. And he accepted the Lord, and he was so excited. It didn't matter anymore after that. And that was just so neat, you know, for Chuck and I. We got to pray with him, and I know that we're going to see him again. I hope that it's true that they're trying to call troops out of the war. But I wanted to share this with you, that on devotions yesterday with Corrie ten Boom's book, it says, "A bird does not know it can fly before it uses its wings. We learn God's love in our hearts as soon as we act upon it." And that's what it's like, and that's what everybody was talking about here. We didn't know that we could love these people. We didn't know that they had a love for us, but we stepped out and we loved them, and they overflowed with their love for us. And the verse is in 1 John 4:12. "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us." And I urge you too, like the rest, if you think you're not supposed to go, but God says go, go. Your life will be changed, and my prayer is that I never go back to who I was ever. Amen. Before this trip. Yes. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
You think it's hot out there? It's real hot right here. I don't know if this is exaggerating, but what was really a blessing was every night when we got together after the outreach during the day, every night we got together for the concert, there was like, I don't know, I think 12, maybe 15 people every night that had come to the Lord. It was just, I mean, it wasn't a real big room either. It was about the third of the size of this room here. And it was really a blessing. A year ago, I went to Russia for the first time, and I had been reading in 2 Timothy, and I'd just like to read two verses to you. It's in chapter 2. "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." And actually, I can't imagine not desiring to experience this right here. And I actually, a year ago, I prayed to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I want to know what this is like." And when you go to Russia, you really find out what this right here is like. You find out that you truly are engaged in warfare. Before you leave, you know it's warfare, there's no doubt. When you get there, you know there's warfare. You get to see God's hand in miracles many times throughout the trip, and we did. And I enjoyed it so much, actually witnessing every day and ministering to others and forgetting about the affairs of this world, as verse 4 says, about being entangled in the affairs of this world. There's no insurance payments when you're there. There's no house payments. There's no music lessons. There's no anything. Just basically you wake up and you are ministering. You're witnessing to somebody. You're encouraging somebody next to you that's witnessing. You're praying for somebody. You're always involved in somebody else besides yourself. In fact, Jack, this time he had said that we need to divorce ourselves from who we are. And I think that's worthy of all of us writing down, that we are really to divorce ourselves from who we've come to be, our little life that we've niched out for ourselves. And I know that I experienced that in Russia, and so this particular trip that we went on, I turned back to the same two verses, and I said, "Lord, I want more of this. I want to experience it again." And he allowed that. He also allowed the part I kind of overlooked about enduring hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I got sick, I think, the third day we were there. And I actually felt kind of like a car with three flat tires riding down the road. But I was still going, and I was going out with the team. And it was totally a blessing for the Lord to continue to bring me further in knowing what it is to be a soldier of His. There's one story I'd like to share with you. The very last day that I was there, I was looking into the crowd of people that were watching the drama teams and somebody speaking about the Lord over the PA and listening to the music, and there was a lady and her name was Irene. And I walked over to her and said hi to her, and I found out she spoke broken English, and she said hi back to me, and she looked at me and she said, "You know, I have many problems. And when somebody in Russia says they have many problems, they're a lot bigger than ours. We say we've got many problems, and they're like minute compared to theirs. Anyway, she said, I've got many problems. And she started digging at this little chain on her around her neck. And she got out this little cross. It was about that big. And she said, how do I put this Jesus in my heart? Mm. And that just, on one side of me, it broke my heart. And on the other side, I was really excited. But a five-year-old could have taken her from there on through. I mean, the Lord definitely blessed me with meeting Irene. She came to know the Lord. She came that night. I was totally excited to see her. And she was, as far as I'm concerned, running with the Lord. And that night, another guy did the exact same thing with me. And I was just so thrilled that I could do that. And it was a total blessing. And I would say this, that I'll be signed up for next year's trip, and the Lord will have to make me not go. He'll have to close the door, and I would encourage everybody else to do the same.
Amen.
Thank you.
We had the opportunity as they were sharing this morning to share with people on the street. This trip was different for me in that all other previous time behind the microphone and there'd be music then public proclamation, and I didn't really ever get a much chance to go one-on-one with people. And this trip was totally different. I had purposed it in my heart to have smaller teams so that there could be team leaders to watch over the concerns of the people, and I was really going to do my best just to be out there with them. And I got to tell you, and I agree with so much with what Rick just said, is just making yourself available. I know that you guys might get into your heart or into your mind that, you know, just because you might be really good at your job that you do, it's almost routine for you, and it's a no-brainer, as we would say it. You just do it. But you know what? It's never that way in spiritual matters. I've heard you guys say, and I've been guilty of saying it about other people. I had a chance to see Greg Laurie behind the scenes right before going up to the Harvest Crusade, standing behind the 75,000 people. And before he goes up there, he's an absolute nervous wreck. And I don't think he appreciates me telling you that right now, because you want to look like you know what you're doing and be cool. But biting the nails and freaking out and panicking and wondering if God's going to show up. And it's no different, you know, in spiritual things of any capacity to any group of people. And as we were sharing and doing our thing, and I had my translator with me, and we were going about, there's just something very, what? Fatal about doing it because it's no longer you able to do it anymore. It's not you. And some of us, you know, can maybe put words together quicker than the other person, but it's God that does the work. And you can't sit out there and say, well, you know, those people, they were supposed to do that kind of a thing. But I guarantee you, if you would have been here months ago at the first meeting, and you would have asked them, do you think you're supposed to do this? They would have said, no way. There's just no way. And over the course of the last three services, you've heard people say, this was my second time. You heard Shelley say, this was my fourth time. You heard someone say, this is my third time. Why do you think they keep going back? Anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000 a pop. And vacation time on top of it. You may be planning a trip to Hawaii. You may be planning a trip to, you know, Bora Bora or Cancun or whatever's coming up and whatever sounds great. Go do it and have a great time. But we have a greater time. Because you cannot in any way be filled with what we've been filled with. And you've heard from these others why. So often in messages, so often, you know, I'll mention Russia. And you're going to hear it from them now. And as the years have gone by since 1992, we're pushing 400 people that have gone from this body and several from others. And it is my prayer that that just continue to go, just continue to happen. And you might be sitting out here today and you might be saying, well, why don't we reach your own community? Well, you know what? Why don't you wake up? Because we are. On Thursday nights, we have just about 100 people that are going out sharing the gospel door to door. And it's happening. And some of you have said to me, why do we have to go to Russia? Why can't we do something here? We are. The interesting thing is those who ask me that aren't doing anything. Happens every time. They're not involved in prayer meetings and they're not involved in anything. I don't say that to your shame. I say that to you as a pastor to ask you to consider leaving your little life and find out that God has got such a huge world that is so hungry for Him. I've never seen Russia so open and so hungry and so reasonable about the gospel. They shared this morning how they shared, and the guy said, yes. Well, what I need for you to know is that we weren't giving some cheap gospel. We were giving the clear gospel. And I want to end with this story. Two different ones with the same result. There's this one girl that Alina and I shared with. I can't even remember how she came about, but I think she was standing in the crowd and we went after her like great whites, you know. And went up to her and just began to share. And I mean, she was just open. And she even confessed, I think, to Alina, I wouldn't have been open earlier, but I'm just open now. And she began to hear. And she got, I mean, it's like saying, are you pregnant or how pregnant are you? Well, you're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You either got saved or you're not saved. This girl fell for Jesus so hard that you could see it in her eyes. I think she's like 17 or 18 years old. And I can never remember her name and even pronounce it if I could remember it. So I just nicknamed her Scooter. And that works for me. And she's so precious. And here's a frail little petite 17 or 18 year old who fell hard for Jesus. And then to see a guy, same feeling. And I got to tell you, just the Lord, I don't know what it is. It's just the Lord. And where you just see somebody. And it doesn't always work, but more often than not it does, where He just says, there's one, there, that one. And you go to them. And there was this man standing in the crowd, obviously pretty, looked like he'd doing pretty well. Maybe, I don't know what he did. He could be in the mafia by the way he was dressed, very well groomed. Looked like he was from the Southern Republic, probably like around Georgia. And he was listening. And we shared with him. And two different people from two spectrums, completely. And both of them coming to exactly the same point of seeing their need for Jesus Christ and responding, yes, I need Him. Hard conversion. I don't mean hard as in difficult. I mean complete. So that night, he shows up, beautiful wife, with their little, I think, 4 or 5-year-old little girl, absolute doll. And that night we were talking about as quickly and as is able, which is so hard, evolution versus creation and the existence of God. And that wife gave her heart to the Lord. And to meet with them afterwards and to see their desire. And all the names that we gathered of people who had given their hearts to Christ and phone numbers, there's a follow-up. There's follow-up going on. Well, it's late in, it's Monday morning there right now. But, Sunday night. Monday morning? It's late Sunday night. Where there's going to be a follow-up program going on. And that's our mission for September 18th. Is to stay in contact, maybe make contact again with these. We have a great, great opportunity and we will be doing that unless the Lord says no. We're going for it unless the Lord says no. For September, and then we'll be doing a special week-long thing in St. Petersburg with Dr. Mark Eastman, we hope, and certainly Roger Oakland has committed himself to it. to reach the city. On the grounds of the New Age movement and the false revival that's taking place around the world, of deception, and then also the argument for creation versus evolution and prophecy. And I just want you to pray. I just want you to find out what God has in store for your life. And if your Christianity is at all boring or just comfortable for you, you got it and that's it, then may the Lord stir up your life. May He just take the whole thing, pots and pans and tablecloth, and just shake the whole thing up so that you know nothing else other than His control and His power and an incredible dependency to lean upon Him. Let's stand up, if you would, before I fall asleep. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, what do we say to you who are you're so gentle and awesome? And Lord, we're very, very great, great, great promoters of grace and of forgiveness and of gentleness when it comes to our own lives. Oh, Lord, how we want you to be gentle to us, and how, Lord, we want you to be gracious and patient with us. But Lord, teach us to know the trick to this Christian walk, to be excited about other people instead, to want them to be more blessed than we are ourselves, to really believe you, Jesus, that when you said that you'll find yourself when you lose yourself, and how few, Lord, understand what all that means, and how sad, so often, how sad we live, all because we have our eyes on ourselves. Father, we pray that as long as this church is in need of your blessings, that you'll find us, Jesus, busy about our Father's business. Lord, that if we ever are hoping that this place be blessed and promoted by you in whatever way you choose, Lord, may this body at large realize that if they're being blessed at all, if they're growing at all here, if anything's happening in the hearts of the people here, Jesus, it's my conviction, it's my understanding, that it's because you've set our hearts on that land and those people. So, Lord, propel this church. Keep us from being polished and perfect, from having stained glass, and just being the hip church of the 90s. Please protect us against success. And Lord, may we day by day and continually, Lord, lay up for you treasures in heaven. And Lord, expand the vision of this place. Burn it in the hearts of your people, that there's a world out there past our nose that is in need of you. Jesus, we love you today. And words cannot express our gratitude for bringing us home, but also for leaving us there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.